get older, losing my head. Many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Walking, and I'm getting out of my van, standing up and about to walk to the hospital door, and my skirt drops to the ground, and I find myself embarrassed because I've forgotten to put a slip on that day.
Ooh.
And everybody's kind of looking at me and laughing, and then I just decided, what the heck, I'm pulling up my skirt, rushing to the door, laughing. And that was really kind of an embarrassing moment. So that allowed other people to kind of talk a little bit about theirs.
Well, I'll tell mine. Mine was, and I mentioned this when we had the students.
Uh-huh.
We were on a family trip, and I was probably 10 years old, and I was in the back of the station wagon, the black 63 Rambler station wagon, and I had an accident. And that was embarrassing. But let's roll some other embarrassing moments.
All right,
you have had time to think about it. What's been your most embarrassing moment?
How about when I met my husband, I threw up on him.
Waking up and not knowing where I was.
When my pants fell down.
When I caught a big wave and came to the shore this once, I lost my whole bathing suit.
Went to my wife's house the weekend we were getting married to meet all her in-laws who I'd never met before. Went in to meet them, and they introduced me to this black-haired woman that I obviously assumed that I'd never met before. They introduced her to me. I said, hello, I'm Mark, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out it was actually my wife dressed in a black wig, and I didn't, or my wife-to-be dressed in a black wig, and I couldn't recognize her.
I thanked the wrong guy for flowers.
That was embarrassing.
Oh, I thought, yeah.
I feel like an idiot.
They didn't know about each other until then.
It was when I got caught pouring some dressing from my salad bowl back into the general mix of the salad bar one time. I didn't like it.
All right, spring break in high school. I went into the room to take a shower, and my buddies let all these women into the room while I was in there, and I came out with nothing on. They're all sitting in there laughing.
Well, one day a friend of mine and myself bumped into a mutual friend of ours, a female. I noticed that she was a little bit on the heavy side. I decided that she was pregnant, and I asked her if she was pregnant, and she said no. Very embarrassing situation, and the conversation just continued as if nothing had happened.
Well... So what do you make of that? Just in a minute or two, what's the punchline of this embarrassment exercise?
Well, it actually puts a person in a very vulnerable position when they're talking about their most embarrassing moments in their life. And when I was doing the exercise with the students and also with the employees, their prospective employees, I wanted them to feel vulnerable and experience what it meant to feel vulnerable amongst strangers and to relate that to the people that they would be caring for so that they would be sensitive to the vulnerability of the people that were coming into the nursing home because they were going to experience all of those things from having an accident in their pants to not hearing, what do you like, a cup of tea? No, I don't want to plant the tree.
Not remembering. Not recognizing are things that people with dementia, Alzheimer's disease experience. So the exercise was to bring out, I think, what things that are embarrassing as youngsters.
Yes.
Older people experience that, and even more frequently. And is that not also embarrassing for them? And does it keep them from doing the things that they want to do, like incontinence? And I have many patients that don't go to church, that don't socialize because they're afraid of being incontinent.
That's correct. And I think that if we're sensitive to that and kind of normalize that that does happen and it's part of life, we can help with it and ease that fear that they have, that it makes the caregiver a better person, and it makes the person being cared for more comfortable and experiencing life and more joyfully.
And by the way, the incontinence issue is a big shameful experience for people, and many don't even seek help for it because it's so shameful, and there are a lot of things that can be done.
Many, many things, yes.
So, well, that has always stuck with me. I've told numerous people over the years the embarrassing moment exercise, asking the question, and then the punchline, and I think it's something for everyone to remember.
Well, thank you.
Now let's run something else about cranky old people.
Oh, there aren't any,
no,
I'm sure.
Of course not. Here we go. I'm here with my daughter Lauren at the Original Pancake House. So what do you think about older people, Lauren?
I think old people are very nice, and I like helping them. Sometimes they can get a little cranky, but it doesn't bother me.
Why do you think they're cranky, Lauren?
Maybe because sometimes they're going through surgery, like with a pacemaker, and sometimes they don't have a husband, and they see other people with their husband, and they get mad or they get sad.
So they might be lonely, or they might have things on their mind. That's the kind of thing you're talking about, why older people might be cranky?
Yes.
Anything else you want to say?
Well, one of my grandmas, she isn't very old, but she's very fun to be with. She plays tennis. She lives in Florida, and she sometimes plays basketball with me. And my other grandma, she's older, but she can't do all that stuff, but she still plays cards and she does everything for me.
What kind of things do you do with that grandma, and what do you call her?
I call her Bubby, and I play cards with her. Whenever I go there, she lets me watch TV, and I always feel comfortable at her house when I'm there.
Do you talk to her on the phone?
Yes, a lot.
Do you go out to restaurants with her?
Yeah, she takes me a lot to many places.
Like where?
Sometimes, if I wanted to go to, like, a crafty place, she might take me there, and I go to the beauty shop with her, and it's fun.
What types of food do you enjoy the most?
Chicken wings, french fries, and especially her chicken soup.
Well, thank you. That was very nice. You said some beautiful things about both your grandmas.
Well, we'll talk about that later on. You can think about what comments. That was my beautiful little daughter, Lauren. And
lovely.
We had a nice breakfast and a nice conversation. We do have a caller, and I think this caller is even from Florida. Yes, you're on the air, live.
Hello, Dr. Stowell.
Hi, I recognize this voice.
You do?
That's one of the grandmas, I think.
Oh, you've been listening to it for 47 years, right?
That's right. What can I do for you, Mom? Thanks for calling.
Okay, this is my problem with a sciatic nerve. I don't have it when I walk, and I don't have it when I exercise, but when I drive my car, it's down my right leg, and the pain shoots down all the way into my calf. And I wonder if there's any exercises or anything that could be done for it.
Well, there certainly are things that could be done for it. Tell me a little more about how long you've had the problem.
I'd say about 2-3 months.
How come you haven't told me about it sooner, Mom?
Well, I don't like to bother you. And it only really affects me when I'm driving, and it takes me about a half an hour to get home from work. And it is my right leg, and I go on the highway, and if it's stop and go and stop and go, it affects my leg even more so.
Now, is there anything you do that makes it feel better?
Yeah, when I get out of the car and I start walking around, and it seems to affect me when I'm like in a cramped position. Like when you're driving, your leg is in you know, it's either on the brake or the gas, the brake or the gas, and it's straight out. And,
right.
And, you know, you're in one position, basically. But when you're standing and walking, you know, you're exercising, so it doesn't bother me then. So is there anything that could be done for it? Because, you know, Dad and I like to take drives. We like to come up to you guys, and I like to help him out with the driving.
Right.
And
nothing's holding you back from doing that.
Yeah, this problem, you know, will hold me back.
Well, what you're describing is fairly classical sciatica symptoms, which is a squeezing of a nerve in the lower back that runs down your leg. And the pain can be from your bottom, your rear end, into your upper leg, and then into your calf. And sometimes people even have problems into the foot. And, they can even have some muscle weakness into the foot if it affects that part of the nerve. Now, the good thing about this is that usually there is a good chance that you can relieve that discomfort by trying a variety of things. There are several different things that you can try. I do want to mention that there's another problem that causes low back pain and pain into the leg that, unlike what you described, where you have the pain when you're sitting, this pain occurs when people are standing and walking,
right.
And actually gets better when they sit down or bend over, such as when they ride a bicycle or something like that. And that's pain caused by spinal stenosis. So, so these are two different, very common problems that cause low back pain.
Right.
And it's important to distinguish the two because the approach, there is some overlap to what you can do about it, but there's also some differences that may arise. Now, one thing certainly... let's categorize, let's put the ways to approach this into several specific categories. You can use what's called conservative approaches. And you may have tried those. Have you tried putting any ice on there or heat in the area?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, that's something that could help. That can decrease the inflammation, the swelling that develops around the nerve. Have you tried any medications, like even Tylenol, to help relieve the pain? Or if you don't have problems with ulcers and are able to tolerate drugs called non-steroidal drugs, NSAIDs, that's like Motrin, ibuprofen,
right.
In a low dose. I always start my patients on low doses. 200 milligrams would be the lowest dose.
Right.
Something like that can help decrease the inflammation. Now, if you can't tolerate, if you get an upset stomach or have had ulcers,
I'm fine with aspirin.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's right, and aspirin is also one of those types of drugs, so,
right.
So you can try that to help relieve that. From there, I had to have an epidural injection because I had bad back pain, and it wasn't relieved by doing things like that. I also went for physical therapy.
Oh, I see.
And the physical therapy helped. And I would recommend, if you do have persistent pain like this, sciatica pain, to get in and go to a therapist, to go in to a rehab medicine doctor. There's now a specialty called rehabilitation medicine. They're called physiatrists, not psychiatrists, but physiatrists. And that's another type of doctor that can help. Osteopathic doctors and chiropractors, many people go to and get relief from this kind of problem. Then after that, hopefully this won't develop into anything further, but of course there's surgical ways to deal with chronic severe pain, and there's also stronger pain medications if the problem is really affecting your life. So,
yeah, well, right now it's affecting my driving.
Okay, well, we don't want it to get worse, and
no.
I think the best thing to start off with would be, you know, try
some aspirin.
Just try an aspirin.
Yeah.
I would also get a lumbar roll to put in your seat to position your spine better.
Oh.
And that may also help relieve the pressure on the nerve and might relieve the pain. So
It's not a pain. It's like an ache.
Yeah.
There's a difference between a pain
right.
is shooting and stuff like that
right.
and hurts a lot.
Yeah,
this is like an ache.
Like a throbbing?
And
aching,
sometimes it feels numb,
right,
you know, from
right.
it and stuff like the foot feels numb when I get it
right.
out of the car and stuff like that. That's what it is.
Right.
As opposed to pain. Pain, you would have heard from me a long time ago.
Okay.
You know,
well, I would hope so.
Pain.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that helped.
Thank you so
and,
much, Dr. Stone.
A website that has some good information is called spine-health.com if you want to look into it more. And, of course, you know who to call if you're still having a problem.
Oh, I certainly will, and it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay. Well, I know you didn't get, you can't hear the broadcast live down in Florida, but I hope you've heard your granddaughter talk about you and her other grandma.
I know, I did. I'm so proud of her. She's such a doll. And I thank her so much.
Okay. Well, good talking to you.
Same here, dear.
Give my regards to Dad.
I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Love.
Okay, we're into our call-in portion of the show. As always, we'd love to hear your calls. Judy's here also to respond to any questions anyone might have about what she's been offering us today. The number, again, is 855-6848, 855-6848. And maybe we can talk a little bit about... the cranky old people that you heard, and why do older people have this reputation, perhaps, as being cranky? What do you think?
Well, I think cranky versus just their personality. Some people have that type of personality, and it's exhibited more the older they get. I think sometimes the elderly people, or elderly people, are...
Older adults.
Excuse me,
older
I'm never
adults,
quite sure what to say. I think that they are impatient. I can give an example of my mom, who I love dearly, won't mind my saying a few tales out of house. She might call and say, gee, could you put my rubbish out for me? It's a little bit heavy this week. I've done some cleaning. And... rubbish is usually collected Friday morning, and it can't be put out where she lives until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Of course, she's called probably about 8 o'clock in the morning. So, 10 o'clock, I get another call. Are you going to put my rubbish out? And 12 o'clock, I get another call. And she might say, well, aren't you ever going to come over here? And I know, really, it's not the fact that the rubbish has to be out at a certain time. She just wants me to be over there to talk.
Well, it's,
and
I think
she's
it's
a little
the loneliness.
Cranky about
well, it's the loneliness
it. Sure.
And,
it's loneliness and maybe discomfort, fear, all sorts of things that cause them to be cranky.
Well, I know since your dad passed away, they were such a wonderful couple. And,
wonderful, yes.
You know, that's she's still a little lost, I think. From
very
that.
Much so. And his... death was untimely. It was not expected as an accident occurred. He and they did everything together. They, up until the year before he died, they were camping all over the country and just did everything together. So the loss, her crankiness may be due to loss, may be due to discomfort, depression, and we have to look at that. And sometimes it's just a little bit enjoyable to have somebody be cranky.
It is, and you can joke about it,
too. Yes.
You can
yes.
joke about it, too.
Yes.
We have another call. Hello, this is Dr. Stahl.
Hi, Dr. Stahl. This is Justin Naylor. I'm Judy's son, and I'd just like to call with... I don't have a question, really, but I'd just like to call and voice support for my mom and for what she does.
Well, you know, I'm one of her biggest fans. She's a wonderful lady. She does great things, and I'm sure you kids are wonderful too, having a lady like her as your mom. We're having fun here today. It's like old times. It's like old times. Do you want to go ahead talk to her? She's right here.
Hi, Justin.
Hi, Mom.
And thanks for calling in. I can hear my wonderful grandchildren in the back. I should tell Dr. Stahl that you and Melissa, your wife, have blessed us with a almost two-year-old, Ruth Beverly, by the way, who is named after her great-grandmother and her grandmother.
Wow.
And you also have another little girl who's just a little bit over a month, and her name is Adderay Judith. Named after her great-grandmother and grandmother on the other side.
Well, so, I'm looking at Judy. Her chest is kind of swelling just with a little bit of pride now, and her face is beaming. And certainly, you know, kids and grandkids also help people keep going as they get older.
Yes, I don't want to take up time for any other callers, but I just want to, you know, voice my respect for what she does and hope she continues doing what she does so very well.
Oh, here, and it's nice of it's great of you to call and say that for your mom.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay. Oh, that's nice.
Well, that was kind
that's
of unexpected.
Nice. Was it? Yeah.
He's a wonderful young man, and his wife. They are just cherished to be cherished, and we are very fortunate to have had three children, two boys and a girl, and. They bring joy, and the grandchildren. I know what it's like now to be a grandmother, and it is the most wonderful thing in the world. And I think can bring joy to anybody. Brings youth into your life again, and lets you enjoy what you were unable to enjoy due to other things taking up time when you were young.
Well, why don't we run the quotation on aging that I played last week, and I never gave the answer.
Okay.
Or the question. This is Jeopardy style.
Okay.
So we're going to run this again and give you a few seconds to think about it, and you'll get a little bit of a hint right after the thinking portion, and you'll know what that is when it happens. And then call in, and if you don't call in, I'll tell you who read the quote or who wrote the quote, and we'll go on to someone else next time. So here we go, the quotation on aging for the week.
This great American said, "Too many elderly people with small incomes skimp on food at a time when their health requires greater quantity, variety, and balance in their diets."
Okay, and now you're going to hear that famous American now, a short clip of him speaking many years ago.
"And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country."
Okay. We'll wait for callers to call in. Why don't I just let you know? I think most people of my age and older will recognize that voice, and I'm sure you do, Judy.
Oh,
that's John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
My first opportunity to vote.
And I still have my black and white notebook from first grade, where we kept a diary, a day-to-day diary, and Monday's entry on November 25th, 1963, states, "Mr. Johnson is our new president."
Oh, my.
Yeah,
no kidding.
In my handwriting when I was 6 years old. So that's one of my prized possessions. We have all kinds of things we can talk about.
I was going to just bring up one thing that I've noticed, that there is a lot of help for this, and it's sometimes goes unrecognized, and that is depression in the elderly. Depression seems to be rampant in our country at this time, with no matter what your age. But I do run into it. I'm not a parish nurse as such, but I am a nurse in my parish, and I also am involved in the parish nursing program and hope to take the certification course soon. But I notice oftentimes that we have problems that have come up in excuse me, in our parish and otherwise, and also as I was a hospice nurse and ran into it a great deal with people who were grieving losses. And it doesn't have to be a death that you're grieving. It could be loss of many other things, a pet or a physical problem, a loss in that way. But I think that people need to know the difference between depression and dementia, because one mimics the other, actually, in some cases. And people fear that and need to know that there is help out there for both situations and how to differentiate between the two.
Well, you brought up a very important topic, and treating depression in my practice has resulted in some wonderful results, and it doesn't even need a medication necessarily. I had a patient many years ago who came in, and you could see the depression right on her face when she came in, and I asked her, what are three things that that you want in your life right now? And she said, I want someone to talk to. I'd like some male companionship. And this is a 90-year-old woman whose husband had passed away. And I wish someone would give me a big hug. I examined her and did the full examination, talked to her more. And as on her way out, I gave her a big hug. I asked the nurse that was working in the office at the time to come over and give her a hug, and even the head doctor of the clinic came down, ran down the hall. I had never seen her run like that before, and gave her a big hug. And she came back a few weeks later and said she was on cloud nine. So that's the try hugs, not drugs approach to treating depression. But let me just run through very quickly. Mm-hmm. There's a formal questionnaire that I use in my practice to help identify whether someone might have depression. I actually used this past Friday and recommended that someone try a medication for depression. These are 30 questions, so I'll read them quickly. Are you basically satisfied with your life? Have you dropped many of your activities and interests? Do you feel that your life is empty? Do you often get bored? Are you hopeful about the future? Are you bothered by thoughts you can't get out of your head? Are you in good spirits most of the time? Are you afraid that something bad is going to happen to you? Do you feel happy most of the time? Do you often feel helpless? Do you often get restless and fidgety? Do you prefer to stay at home rather than going out and doing new things? Do you frequently worry about the future? Do you feel that you have more problems with memory than most? Do you think it's wonderful to be alive now? Do you often feel downhearted and blue? Do you feel pretty worthless the way you are now? Do you worry a lot about the past? Do you find life very exciting? Is it hard for you to get started on new projects? Do you feel full of energy? Do you feel that your situation is hopeless? Do you think that most people are better off than you are? Do you frequently get upset over little things? Do you frequently feel like crying? Do you have trouble concentrating? Do you enjoy getting up in the morning? Do you prefer to avoid social gatherings? Is it easy for you to make decisions? Is your mind as clear as it used to be? So this is called the Geriatric Depression Scale, and it's a formal assessment questionnaire that's used in medical practices. And if you score positive on 15 or really 10 or more of those questions, there's a good chance that you are depressed, and that something needs to be done about it. Maybe counseling, talking to someone, looking into what your situation is, getting help, maybe having a tough time making ends meet, getting things done around the house. There's a multitude of things that could cause or make depression worse.
Mm-hmm. You can probably devote a whole show to
absolutely
to that.
And one thing you should remember that, and this is how I explain it to my patients, that you may be in a situation that you feel is causing your depression, that anyone in that situation would be depressed. But I tell my patients that there are other people that have the same problems or even worse problems going on, and they're not depressed. And that often lets a light go on to let them realize that maybe they can feel a little better, that there's something about their body chemistry, about how their mind works, that is making them susceptible to feeling depressed, and that not everyone is depressed just because of whatever bad situation someone might be in. Well, I think we're going to start wrapping up the show.
This
has been wonderful. I'd love to have you back. Maybe you bring your mom next time. That would be fun.
I would love to.
Once again, let's see. The phone number, write this down for next week to call in your questions, 855-6848. Write the station, WHLD, 1270 AM, 225 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo, 14202. If you want any of the handouts that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Healthcare Proxy Form, Caregiver's Handbook, an Older Adult Self-Assessment Packet, the Geriatric Depression Scale, I'd be happy to send to you as well. You can email me at drstall at whatshouldyouexpect.com. And I'd like to end today with I do want to thank Irving Berlin for always, and WHLD, of course, for making the airtime affordable and for helping me to get the show off the ground. And let's have a little dinner music now.
I get older, losing my head, many years from now.
There's our dinner music. And this is a beautiful piano by Miss Dorothy Eshelman, 96 years young, a patient of mine at one of my nursing homes. She had a twin sister that she lived with at the facility for several years, and they were quite a pair. They were wonderful, and Miss Eshelman's biggest distress was seeing her twin sister get worse health-wise. That was her main dis-ease. Remember I mentioned in the first show the difference between disease, dealing with disease as a specific thing, heart failure, and disease, those things that make someone's life less enjoyable. And I hope this show can help make some people's lives a little bit more enjoyable. So we'll see you next week. This is Dr. Rob Stahl. What should you expect at your age?
Get older, losing my head, many years from now. Will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me, will you still feed me, when I'm 64? Thank you. mending a fuse when your lights have gone. You can knit a sweater by the fireside. Sunday mornings go for a ride. Doing a garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight if it's not too dear. We shall scrimp and save. Grandchildren on your knee. Hear a chuck and day.
7:59, I know.
Yes, 7:59. 4:39.
Send me a postcard.
Limited sunshine. Limited scattered showers. Coming at 5 o'clock hour. Ronnie D's in the house. London Bronx. Drive Time Focus. Right here on AM 1270. WHLD, a Citadel Broadcasting Communications Station.